evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name's Tony Nixon and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. If you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it in silent and can ask members of the public to refrain from commenting from the public gallery. If there's any disruption to the meeting, you can be asked to leave. On my right, I have an officer from the Planning Department, and on my left, I've got officers from the Law and Governance Department. The officer from the Planning Department will present the application as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 3 minutes. I'll indicate when you have 1 minute left to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording of this meeting will be published on the Council website. Members of the committee are reminded they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. We can now move on to the agenda. Item 1, the minutes of the previous meeting on the 4th of June. Was published on the website.
I propose we accept them, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded?
Yeah.
Yeah. All in favour? I'll sign those. Do we have any apologies?
Councillor James, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Declaration of members' interests or any lobbying? None. Delegated applications, they'll be circulated separately to members. We now move on to the planning application. The only members that can sit on this, as it's a deferred application, are Councillor Cross, Councillor Hobbs, Councillor McNaughton, myself, Councillor Sandiford and Councillor Spencer. Could ask anyone else to leave, thank you. I'll now pass on to John to present the application.
Thank you, Chairman. This application was previously considered by committee on the 23rd of October last year. What you'll see you've got in the agenda is there is an addendum report which starts on page 4. With the proposed conditions and reasons runs up to page 18, and then after that from page 19 onwards there's a copy of the previous report that went to committee on October last year. So what I've sought to do in the addendum report is to list the reasons for deferral and what has changed since that date. But just to recap on the application, it's an outline application with only access for consideration at this stage for a development of up to 114 dwellings. The application follows the granting of outline planning permission in 2007, which since lapsed, and the refusal of an outline consent in 2010 on flood risk grounds. The loss of this employment site and non-designated heritage asset are considered to be outweighed by its redevelopment for residential use, as set out in sections 3 and 4 of the original report. Noise impact assessment has been submitted, which recommends mitigation measures through a construction environmental management plan during the construction phase, together with boundary treatments for future occupiers. Highway Authority raised no objection subject to conditions, and the lead local flood authority are satisfied that an adequate surface water drainage scheme can be provided. Conditions 8, 9 and 10 secure surface and foul water drainage measures. Tree officer raises no objection to those trees identified for removal subject to tree protection measures being secured by condition, and replacement tree planting with only T9 being a protected tree for removal. On-site provision of 40% affordable housing and over 8,000 square metres of open space will be secured via planning obligation, together with a number of financial contributions. Okay, so as I said before, the application was deferred on the 23rd of October for three specific reasons which are listed on page 4 of the agenda. Since that time, we have reconsulted Severn Trent, who have reiterated their view on the capacity of the system. Also, the applicant's agent has submitted further clarification of the evidence in the submitted options analysis and retention strategy for the potential retention of the central portion of the main building fronting Longton, facing Longton Stoke Road as a non-designated heritage asset. And then also further details have been provided by the Leisure Policy and Implementation Officer, which has identified potential schemes in stone for recreational development. Also, what has happened since October is that the National Planning Policy Framework was revised in December. And as a result of the housing targets, the council no longer has a 5-year supply of housing land, and the policies in the plan for Stafford Borough which relate to the supply of housing are more than 5 years old. As such, the tilted balance is engaged where the National Planning Policy Framework's presumption in favour of sustainable development is applied for decision taking as set out in paragraph 11 of the NPPF. So, just to explain that in slightly more detail, you're aware from the members' training of the tilted balance, and in terms of how you look at things, now we don't have a 5-year land supply, but the situation on this application has changed since you first considered it, because that wasn't the situation back in October, but it is now. So, we've got the same photographs that you've seen before. So, we've got the red-edged application site. Got the aerial photograph with it showing the same boundary. You've got Alton Road runs up to immediately to the west of the site in a sort of northeasterly direction, and to the south of the site that is the A520 Stone Road. So there's a series of 12 photographs. We start on the Stone Road frontage. You can see the road just to the left of the photograph. This is taken within the site. You can see the part of the parking area. And the building in the centre is the part that we were looking at, whether there was potential to retain that as part of the deferral reason. This is looking the same. The same building but in the opposite direction, looking in a more northerly direction. Image 3 is looking along Alton Road from one of the existing access points. And image 4 is looking in the opposite direction along that road. Image 5 is looking down Alton Mews towards Alton Road. And we now move into the site. So this is looking across the site from the southwest corner. Image 7 is the central part of the site. Change 8 is looking the same building, but this time towards the corner. Image 9 is looking along the northeast corner of the site. That's the boundary with some residential properties behind those large conifers. Image 10 is looking along the rear of the main building. So this is the same building you saw a couple of slides back, but the opposite side of it, the back of it. Image 11 is across the northern part of the site. That is taken from the left of that row of conifers in the previous picture. And this one is along that row of conifers. So we've got a red edge site plan there. The red edge bound is a little bit vague in terms of it doesn't stand out that well against the background, but you can just about see it there. And this is an illustrative master plan showing how the site could be developed. Plan 3 looks at garden sizes and it shows the so the green is garden sizes above 50 square metres and the blue is garden sizes above 65 square metres. Plan 4 shows the areas of amenity open space, which is the green. The green shaded area towards the middle of the site, and also along the stone road frontage. And the orangey areas are natural green space. And plan 5 shows separation distances. The blue lines are back-to-back figures and the yellow lines are side-to-back figures. I appreciate that you can't read what the distances are on the screen, but they're all annotated. So, Chairman, the the situation is that the recommendation still remains to approve subject to conditions and to the completion of a Section 106 agreement, but this time to also include a sum of £70,000 towards the development of recreational facilities in stone, such as 3G pitch, or the provision of new or enhanced sport pitches or outdoor sports facilities. The conditions are the same as recommended previously, and as I mentioned before, you now have to consider this application alongside the National Planning Policy Guidance for Sustainable Development, given that we don't have a 5-year housing land supply. So the application is to approve, subject to those conditions and to the 106 agreement.
Thank you, John. We have a supporter, Mr. Evans. Would you like to take a seat? You'll have 3 minutes and I'll indicate when you've got 1 minute left. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thanks, Chair and members. I think Mr. Holmes has probably covered off a great deal of what I wanted to say, and both in his report and in his introductory speech. But just wanted to touch on a couple of points relating to the previous reasons for deferral. The first relates to the building retention. As Mr. Holmes said, we've obviously explored at length whether the buildings could be retained per se, and then we were asked to go away and look at whether the central section or the central portion of the main building, which is the former offices, could be retained and repurposed. And I think this was on the basis that something similar had happened with the sister factory in Banbridge. I'm very familiar with that. My wife was brought up not many miles away from there, so I've been to visit it on a couple of occasions. I just wanted to point out there's a couple of distinct differences between the two, if that's what was persuading you thinking of retaining the buildings. The first is obviously that that building in Northern Ireland is listed, and because of that designation, the developers there were required to retain that. Obviously here, Stonefield Works is a non-designated heritage asset. It's not afforded the same degree of protection, and there isn't that requirement there to retain it, but we have explored that. And then secondly, while both the former factory and the conjoined office building at Banbridge were retained and incorporated into that housing development, the office element, or the former office element of the Banbridge factory, which is sort of virtually identical in terms of its footprint and layout to the central portion of the building at Stonefield Works, wasn't. That's actually retained as offices, and it's used by the developer who developed the site for office accommodation. That wasn't converted to housing, and that just illustrates the point we've been making of the inherent difficulties you have trying to convert office accommodation into housing and incorporate it into a development. So that's the thinking behind why we can't do what we've been asked to do there. And then in regards to the deficiencies of sports provision in Stone, as Mr. Holmes said, we've been provided with some additional information from the Council's Leisure Policy and Implementation
Officer. You've got 1 minute left.
Okay. And we've reviewed that and we're quite satisfied and that meets the SIL test, and we're happy to pay a contribution of £70,000 towards that. And drainage capacity issues, we had actually looked at that prior to submitting the application and had done a developer inquiry. That confirmed there was no capacity issues, but Mr. Holmes's colleagues have obviously been consulted, and that's confirmed that that is indeed the case. So I would hope that addresses your concerns and you're able to grant planning permission for this sustainable development. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll open it up for discussion. Has anyone got anything they wish to say? Yes, Scott.
I acknowledge in the additional information we've had that reasons 2 and 3 have been addressed sufficiently. I still have concerns with the non-designated heritage asset and the wholesale demolition of it. In the previous paperwork, at page 45, you've got Stone Town Council. I've mentioned how it is a special architectural and historical value for the town, and its loss will be quite significant to the town of Stone. You've got two different conservation groups that have also stated that they have significant issues and have objected to the loss of this asset. Looking through the options appraisal that has been conducted by the clients, I have issue with this as well. It says there's going to be loss of a significant number of houses. Looking at its location, it looks like maybe 3 or 4 at most, with actual 8 flats to replace those 4. It says lack of commercial viability for apartments. There's actually over 50 apartments currently for sale in Stone, of which 27 have sold. So there's clearly a need for apartments, and that allows people to get onto the property ladder with, you know, for less expense. It mentions about access. These are all reasons for turning down retaining the central building, I must add. about, oh, the access will be from Alton Road, for no reason given as to why it would be from Alton Road, but they could just quite clearly alter the design of the road coming off Stone Road. And a lot of the issues appear to be, oh, well, it's going to be costly to convert. Well, I cannot see why the cost of something should warrant its demolition and lack of use. And I'm just worried that Stone is losing something which is a significant landmark for that town. And they've said, oh, well, we'll retain the railings and the gate. That's not going to amends the fact that you've lost this entire building. So for me, it's still a great shame as why this building cannot be retained within this development.
Anyone else?
John said at the start that we're deciding access to this site.
Yes, a demolition and access. Is that
can you put plan two up again, John?
Yep.
Yeah, now Scott mentioned access could be off Alton Road. I'm looking at there, and it looks as if there's an entrance off Alton Road and also one off Stone Road.
Yep.
So there's access for both sides, not just the one side.
What they said was that by retaining the building it would mean that all access would be from Alton Road. Well, that's clearly on based on this design now. They could change the design of where the road's coming off Stone Road should they want to.
Yeah, and again, as the supporter has said, the agent said, I think it's on page 3.4. The applicant's agent pointed out that the starting point for consideration of the potential retention of the main building is that there is no requirement in either local or national planning policy terms to retain the existing frontage or part of it because it's a non-designated heritage asset. So that's already stated and that is in the report. So as much as it's part of the history of Stone, I'm afraid we're living in a different century now and things must progress. Again, we look at the report, I think it's page 6. John again mentioned the land supply, but there's also the changes that have come through to the MPPF. Puts more obligation on us to use brownfield sites, and therefore, on balance, which is what we're asked to discuss, on balance, I think it outweighs the negatives and is the positive to have the development. So, if no one else wants to talk on it, I'm happy to propose we accept the report,
Andy.
Subject to conditions and the 106 agreement.
Thank you, Brooke.
Just want to say on the heritage issue, it is sad to lose buildings that are significant kind of landmarks, and I have seen some knocked down that could have been possibly converted into accommodation, like the old council offices in Stafford have been converted into accommodation. But I've also read a lot of where they've converted office space to accommodation, and it's really horrible. You know, you hear about them converting these offices in town, and from what I've heard, those offices are just not suitable to make decent accommodation for people. So I agree with Brian that we have to move on, and it's unfortunate, but that building has to come down.
I think it is really disappointing because it is sort of, it is a landmark and it is, you know, a sort of Art Deco in its style. But weighed up against the fact that it's a brownfield site, that there's going to be no problems with the drainage, you know, and it looks like a nice development. I think, you know, it's really disappointing, but we should pass it really, especially in view of the was it 40% social housing or?
Yeah,
40%.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've got a lot of people waiting for homes, And that's, we've got to think about them as well, haven't we? But you know, if there was any way you could reconsider, it would be brilliant, because I think they look nice. That sort of building looks nice converted, you know, into flats. But and lots of other towns manage it, don't they? You know, when you go to sort of, you know, places like Shrewsbury, where they just haven't taken everything down. You know, they've maintained a lot of the old style of the town. It makes a big difference, but you know, weighed up against the fact, especially as it's a brownfield site and we've got a great need for housing, you know, I would agree with Brian.
Is that seconded, Brian's proposal?
What you said there, as this is only an application for access and demolition, that maybe the developer could consider if he could have any further possibilities to retain, you know, if given the chance and if the market changes. That's all I have to add.
Anyone else? We've had a proposer and a seconder. All those in favour of approving? Those against? Carried. Thank you. You can return now, Peter.
Thank you.
We're on item 6 now. Planning appeals on page 60. Do you want to mention anything about this? Has anybody got any comments on it?
No.
Well, in that case, there are no enforcement matters, but I would like to say one thing before we finish the meeting. This is John's last meeting as he's leaving us in the near future, after 19 years, and I think we owe him a vote of thanks for all the work he's put in over that time.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Did you bring cakes, John?
Well, that brings the meeting to a close.